You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Dr. Herbert Bailey continues with, I will not be choked.
Riches, wealth, and material things are deceitful. Money and stuff will lie to you. Money and stuff will tell you, we will make you happy. That's a lie. Money stuff will tell you it'll make you sufficient or, significant, make you feel like you were somebody. Money will tell you, I will give you security. Money will lie to you and tell you, I will bring you friends. All of these things are lies or temporary fixes or an illusion of happiness, an illusion of significance, an illusion of security, an illusion of friends. Yet the scriptures constantly remind us of the deceitfulness of riches. And in a church like ours, where I teach you that it is the will of God for you to prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, where I teach you it is the will of God that you increase more and more, you and your children, where I teach you that it is the will of God that you be blessed to be a blessing, you got to make sure you still don't get off and deceived by the deceitfulness of riches. You got to know how to balance this message and these principles with what God says can be a deceiver. So Ephesians 5:10-11 says, he that loveth silver, watch this, will not be satisfied with silver. Ecclesiastes 5:10, he that loveth silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is vanity. He said you can get all the money and still find you still got a hole in you. You can get, I need all this stuff, got abundance, got everything, but there's still a hole in you. There's a hole in man that nothing can fill but God. Come on now. And look at this, verse 11. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. Oh, those are those friends. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. The more stuff you get, the more people help want to be around you to help you spend your stuff and use your stuff. Look at this. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes? He said at the end of the day, you got all this stuff and then got all these fake friends. Come on, let's look at the deceitfulness of riches. Psalm 39:6. Psalm 39:6. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. Get all this money and lose it, somebody else gets it. Because y'all need to understand, money does not dissolve. Money does not evaporate. Money switches hands. If you used to have money and you broke now, your money didn't evaporate. Somebody got your money. Do you understand? It doesn't evaporate. It doesn't leave the earth. So you can heap it up and somebody else end up spending it. And when a man love a woman, he'll give everything. And then after all that woman has spunked up your money, see her girlfriend left. Child, he was a fool. I spent all his money. And they're on to the next. Nice man. Psalm 49:6. They trust in their wealth and they boast of great riches. Yet they cannot redeem them from death by paying a ransom of God. So you can have all the money in the world and you die in a cancer, you need a miracle. And somebody can have all the money in the world, dying of cancer, and they need a poor person who can get across a prayer to come see them. Yet cannot redeem themselves from death by paying the ransom of God. You can't bribe God with your money. Redemption does not come so easily, for no one can ever pay enough to live forever, nor see and never see the grave. He's the only thing that's going to cause you to live forever and not see the grave or corruption. You need Jesus. John 62 and 10. Trust, not in oppression. Become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, don't set your heart on it. I know you got money. You think everything, don't set your heart on it. A computer glitch can take away all your money. A hacker. My financial administrator sent me something the other day. She said, Pastor, did you ask me to make this wire transfer? Looked like the email wasn't from you. And somebody had gotten my name, her email, and sent her a request to do a wire transfer to this account, saying it was from me. And thank God for enough discernment and look at enough detail, she sent me a text and said, Pastor, did you send this email to me? And it was about $5,000. A hacker could take your money. Are y'all listening to me? And if you in this church and you did it, what you try to do to me is already done to you. Proverbs 11:28. He who trusts in riches, he that trusts in riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. Another scripture says, he says, better is a little that a righteous man has than all the riches of a wicked man. Well, I'd rather have the favor of God than money in the bank. The Bible says that favor is better than riches. Because a good name is to be desired above riches. If you have favor, there's stuff you don't even have to pay for. If you have favor, God give you favor with God and man. Stuff will give. God will call somebody to give you what they won't even let somebody else pay for. You can have all the money in the world and don't have faith with God. I've seen it happen. And though somebody else can pay more, they rather accept less from you than take more from them because they don't like them. Somebody said, I need the favor of God more than I need money. Sister, don't trust in riches. Now, here's one I want to spend a little time on because you always got to be evaluating this. Proverbs 23, 4, and 5. I always think about it. And I'm at a place now, I'm so much sometimes to the right of this scripture that I think I got to be careful not to miss some opportunities. And the Lord keeps saying to me, just as long as your heart's right, it's okay. It's all right, pursue it. Because see, in my case, and then I have to go back, okay, God, now are you saying something to me in this season? Because when I started in ministry, y'all remember I went from $65,000 a year down to zero. You heard the story. And $65,000, even where I am now, really don't seem like that much money. But considering the fact that I was a boy from the projects, who when my mother died after working for 30 years, her salary was $16,000. And I got one time her salary as insurance money. So considering that, I think $60,000 for a boy from the projects, I was doing pretty good for myself. God had blessed me. But when I went in full-time in ministry, came off the job, Lord told me not to do anything else. We had a church, maybe about 20, 25 people at the time. The Lord said, I need you to trust me. People came to me at that, some of y'all remember back in the late 90s and all that. It's the same thing today. People just a little more sophisticated about it now. But everybody trying to make money from, you had Excel. You're trying to excel, that's the long distance service, folks selling MCI service. We had Primerica. We had people coming to me, and everybody was coming to me from every different angle, and people were trying to show me as a pastor, you don't have to work it. And I would tell people, the Lord told me to do nothing but ministry. Just you don't have to do it. Just sign your church up. And people in your church can work it. And when they work it, it'll bring money into your church, and then it'll give you a salary. And the Lord said, I want you to do nothing but trust me. And then he told me, don't you ever get in this pulpit and tell the people about your needs. He said, these people are not there to meet your needs. You're there to meet their needs. He said, Right Direction is not your employer. Right Direction is your assignment. I'm your employer, and if you do your assignment well, I will take good care of you. And I'm a living witness that he did it, but I had to trust God. And he wouldn't let me do anything else. Wouldn't let me work a side business. Wouldn't let me do this and that. He just told me to trust. And then my helper, my helpmeet, supposed to help me meet the light bill, meet the mortgage, meet the rent. He told me, she ain't going to help you meet nothing. You, I didn't tell you to switch places with her. I'm going to provide for you. You're going to provide for her and your whole family. Told me to do nothing. So I heard a rhema word. I'm supposed to trust God. So when I read this scripture, this really means a lot to me. So Proverbs 23, 4 and 5 says, labor not to be rich. Now, I know you want to be rich. You want to take care of your family. You want to send your kids to college. You want to take care of your bills. You want to pay your house off. And yet the scripture tells me, don't you work to get rich. Cease from your own wisdom. Stop trying to figure out how to get rich. I know. This, y'all choking on this word right now. People always going to seminars, always going to this, all that. Everybody trying to figure out how to come. Put that scripture back. Put this other one back up. Labor not to be rich. Cease from your own wisdom. Stop trying to figure out how you gonna make happen what I promise you. Abraham. God said, I'm gonna bless you, you're gonna have a child. He immediately goes to try to come up with his wisdom. Well, maybe this is how it's gonna happen. This is gonna happen. God said, will you just chill out? I got this. So Jesus says, I'm gonna tell you, here's the secret. Just seek first kingdom of God, his righteousness. God knows he promised you to be rich. Do what he tells you to do. So your whole purpose for laboring and working can't be to get rich. You got to have a purpose beyond money. Brother Sean, God can bless you through music as you labor and as you put songs together and do recordings, and it's bad. Some I've seen, they work beyond just being here and doing things. And God will bless them through that. But God said the motive can't be money. The motive can't be money. It got to be, watch this, to in some kind of way bless somebody else. In some kind of way to add value to people's lives. God will bless you through doing hair. He can make you rich through it. But God wants you to have a desire to not see women's heads look so jacked up. That got to be your motive. It got to pain you. It got to hurt you to see women with jacked up heads. See, some of y'all don't get this. The same end, the same work, different motive. Your motive can't be to get rich. Your motive gotta be to take what I put in you and use it to help inspire, encourage somebody else. You know, there are comedians who really, they just love to see people laugh. The motive can't even be, it overjoys them to see people laugh. That got to be the motive for being a comedian, if God's going to get involved with it. In other words, whatever you're doing, it can't just be for you. God doesn't bless selfishness. God does not increase selfishness. Labor not to be rich. So you constantly got to be evaluating, why am I doing this? Because money is not a very good motivator. Money, come on, some of y'all, if you live long enough, you'll understand you can be making a whole bunch of money and be miserable. And get the point of saying, you know what, the money ain't worth this. Oh, come on now, some of y'all say, you can't do nothing for money. If the money good, I'm going to be good. Keep on living. Child, I'd rather not be making no money and just be able to go home and have peace of mind than be dealing with all this drama up here in this office. Keep on living. You'll come to that place and you realize money alone is not enough to keep you doing anything. Labor not to be rich. See, watch this, verse 5. Will thou set thine eyes upon that which is not, permanent, that which is not secure? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle towards heaven. It wasn't a funeral director who came up with the song. It was money. Money said, I fly away, oh glory, as the wings of a dove. Money flies away. Don't set your heart on it. Just like that bird flies. Money will be here today, gone tomorrow. If God don't keep you healthy, you can spin it all up, running from doctor to doctor. Ask the woman with the issue of blood. That woman didn't start off poor, she ended up poor. She has spent all she had trying to get well. Don't set your eyes on it. Riches deceived the rich farmer. Look at Luke 12. How does it choke the word? Because we'll give up serving in ministry. We'll sacrifice our families. All to make money. And here's the deception. Men, brothers, the deception is, I'm doing it for you. That's a lie. There's no way I could have been gone from my kids for 6 months, a year, and had a choice in it, say I'm doing it for them. Boys need their fathers and need them around. I don't care how much money I'll be sending home. And I can deceive myself and say, I'm doing it for them. I'm not doing it for them. It makes me feel good to say I'm earning this money. But at what cost? At what cost? Because you have ceased. You have not ceased from your own wisdom of trying to figure out, how can I be a good father and do the primary thing and God still take care of the money thing? So I can't figure out how to do it. So I know I can take care of the money thing. Oh, I'll let that fall where it may. And that's not how it works. And I keep telling you all this. You can say whatever you want to say. And I only preach this with conviction, which I know bothers some of y'all, makes you mad and all that. But I still got to tell you the truth. I only preach this because I had to live it. I had to make choices based upon priorities. I had to make choices based on what God said versus how I could figure it out that this thing could work. There was a calling of God in my life, and I had to put that first. I don't care what you say. I want to say this. Your priorities are reflected by your decisions. Your priorities are reflected by your decisions. If you say, I can't go to church because I got to wash my car on Sunday. That's the only day I can wash my car. I'm using a real carnal example. But what you're really saying is, my car is more important than going to church. Now, you can fix it any way you want to fix it. Come on now. Your priorities are determined by your decisions. Your decisions determine your priorities. Am I right? And so the rich young ruler, not the rich young ruler, The rich farmer, Luke 12, 15. And it chokes the word. It keeps the word from being primary because you're trying to get money. You're trying to get paid. Luke 12, 15. And he said to them, take heed, beware of covetousness. That word covetousness, he said, beware of being greedy. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of things which he possesses. Read that with me again. For a man's life. Okay, everybody who got educated beyond the third grade, read it with me, starting at four. Come on, read it with me. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesses. I got a lot of stuff, y'all. I got too much stuff. Angel, make sure you come over to my house. Help me get rid of some stuff. Got a whole bunch of suits to give you. Okay? I got to get rid of stuff. And I'm trying to hold on. I'm trying to hold on to those 40 suits as long as I can. I'm telling those 40s, I'll be back. I'll be back. Just wait here. Just wait here. Wait. Wait right here. Wait here. But I'm wearing the 44s now, and I can breathe again. Hallelujah. So it's all right. I got more shoes I can shake a stick at. Size 11, meet me here Wednesday. I'm going to give away a whole bunch of shoes. You size 11. Okay? Stuff. Stuff. All this stuff. Man, if my son don't talk to me, it don't mean nothing. If my wife don't like me, it don't mean nothing. I can have money to take her anywhere in the world and take her shopping and she don't care. I don't care what you want to buy me. I don't want to be with you. It means nothing. A man's life consists not in the abundance of things that he possesses. That's the point Jesus is trying to get through. And then he says, now, let me show you somebody who didn't understand this. Verse 16, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, which shows he already was rich. You see, he already was rich. The ground of a rich man brought forth. So he was already rich, and now he had a bigger harvest. Now he can even get more. And the man thought within himself, my goodness, what shall I do? Because I got no room to bestow all my fruits. All my barns are filled, and all my barns are filled, and all my houses are filled, and all my storage is filled, and all my accounts are filled. What do I do? I know what I'll do. I will pull down my barn, and I will build greater. And that's where I'm going to bestow all my fruits and my goods. Notice he didn't say, I got so much, let me be a blessing to somebody else. Man, I got so much stuff. Let me just call all the poor folks in the community and say, listen, y'all take everything you need. I got far more than I could ever use. The man wasn't thinking like that. Our problems. What shall I do? Because I have no room to bestow my fruit. And he said, this is what I do. I will pull down my barn and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruit and my good. Our problems are my problems. Me, myself, and I. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. You can retire now. You got all your retirement is funded. You're going to live good. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And they heard something go, beep. He flatlined. No retirement. He died that night. And he thought, and Jesus gives us this story to remind us a man's life consists not of a bunch of things that he possessed. He's this fool, then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Man, they have his priorities straight. Didn't think about blessing anybody else. He felt sufficient enough himself. And none of his goods, none of his money was able to extend his life. Riches deceive Nebuchadnezzar.
Circumstances can come to rob you of your peace and choke the word that you already know. Do not let these distractions frustrate the plans God has for you. It is time to make up your mind that you will not be choked. Order today for your love gift of $15 or more. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for I Will Not Be Choked. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.